It is always my joy and privilege to read to you from God's holy word. Tonight we're going to be looking at the prophecy of Isaiah, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 6. May the people of God be enriched in their lives by hearing and reading from this word of God as recorded in Isaiah 11, 1 through 6. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Merry Christmas. Most of you have received Christmas cards by now. A few years back, my family and I received a very interesting Christmas card, one like I've never received before or since. On the front of the card was something that I'd only seen twice else in my life. And that was at the birth of my own children, when there was an inky footprint that the hospital took once they were born. And there on this Christmas card, the implication was clear. The footprint of the Son of God, the footprint of God's love upon our heart on the face of this Christmas greeting. Over 2,000 years ago, a real live baby was born to a woman named Mary. And indeed, he was the Son of God, our Savior. He didn't ask to be born. He didn't ask to come into the world in the way in which he did. In fact, he didn't have a say at all. It was God's way and God's will to bring himself into the world in the form of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what the love of God brought to you and me. And that's the way of our God, to be right in the middle of our lives, loving us, listening to us, being present and among us. Christ would be God's gift to you and me to meet and fulfill his purpose. And God chose the fresh start of a new life in the form of a baby. A real, live, squalling, wiggling, giggling, hungry, cooing baby. The prophets had foretold about him, but many believed the Messiah to be a myth of sorts, this long-awaited promise, God incarnate. How could that be? How could God come and be human and still be God? Just another human, just another baby. C.S. Lewis wrote, "Our world has many myths about gods and saviors. But the startling difference is exactly that Jesus was a real live person. Put another way, a husband loses his keys. He comes to his wife and he says, 'Do you know where my keys are?' And the wife says, 'That's a matter of the senses, not the intellect.' In other words, it's not a mind game. Get up and see what happened to your keys." You see, that's what the shepherds did. they got up to see if what had been told to them really happened. They ran and they found the baby just as the angelic host had promised them. It really happened just the way that they were told. They found the baby in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and yes, lying in a manger. And the reality of Jesus didn't stop there. He grew up to be a little boy. He played like children play. He took trips with his parents, like children do. He went to church or temple, and he learned. And he grew in the wisdom and the grace and the knowledge of God, and then he quit just learning at the temple. He began to teach at the temple. In fact, he began to teach wherever he was, on top of the mountains, by the seashore, even from a boat. God's wisdom and grace followed him wherever he went. He was able to perform miracles. He was able to tick off people because he was so smart, so truthful, so God. And being so God and so sacrificial in giving the truth, he eventually died and did so with dignity. But it did not stop with his death. He triumphed over the grave in resurrection and grace. All of this documented, not once, not twice, but many times over. All of these events, life-changing. And the personal Jesus Christ I know, and I pray you know, is still changing lives. Amen? He's not a myth. Knowing Jesus is knowing a miracle. A man walks into my congregation as lost as a person can be, down on his luck, down in his mouth. He hears God's word of love and forgiveness and understanding. And somehow a light bulb goes off. He begins to have his faith restored in God and in himself. A woman is feeling panic over almost every area of her life. You listen to it and you sense the panic and the anxiety and the agony. Panic over the loss of her career. Panic over the ending of a relationship. She feels all alone and she comes into the church one morning. People greet her. People are nice to her. They invite her to become a part of a group. They invite her to go to the Stone Soup Mission. They invite her into the fellowship and the warmth of Christ's love around her. And suddenly, she goes from being all alone and panic-stricken to suddenly feeling accepted, wanted, needed. And it's a tonic to her soul. And all of these scenarios I've just described are lived out in the name of a man called Jesus. And these people know this man. It's the knowledge of him as their personal savior that drives them to connect to people who need to know him as well. He is their savior, and their words and actions are done out of love, because to know Jesus is to know love. And to love Jesus is to know Jesus. And to know Jesus is to know a change in one's life. This evening, it's so wonderful to see you all sitting with family and friends. But I have a question to ask. Is Jesus this myth for you, or has he become a bona fide miracle for you? real and personal. Do you allow Jesus to get into your business? Or do you keep him at arm's length? Like some friendships where you realize that you're only called upon when you're needed. Do we find Jesus just close enough to grab him when we need him, but not too close, or he may affect us? The prophet Jeremiah said the words of God, "I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore I have continued my faithfulness to you. My friends, enter this evening in this enormous mystery. Like Jesus, you too are the beloved son and daughter of God." And that's so hard for you and I to put ourselves in that category because Jesus is so perfect. And you and I are not. But this enormous mystery of which I speak is the fact that God doesn't wait on you and me to be perfect to love us. Thanks be to God. That's why it's called grace. We are given Jesus and salvation without deserving it. The kind of love from God preceded your birth and mine. Because God has known us before we were ever formed. Psalm 139:13. O God, thou didst form my inward being. Thou didst knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for thou art wonderful. God gave Jesus to live within you. And to live within me. And to fill up our beings. How often do we find ourselves at times and find others at times trying to fill a void? And things don't fill that void. And even people cannot fill that void. And there's only one answer that fills that void. That one who has never left us in the first place, but is waiting to be reinvited to fill the void. Jesus. I'll close with this story. In a church much like this one, over a decade ago, a church about this size, I was serving communion that night in a rather different manner. We were going to be passing through the pews the individual cups and the individual wafers. And at the instruction of saying, "This is my body," the words of Christ, "eat in remembrance of me." "And this is my blood," and "drink this in remembrance of me." This is Jesus Christ given for you. As I'd given those instructions, and you could see almost like one body of Christ, everyone eating at the same time, drinking at the same time, and bowed in prayer at the same moment, I heard about on the third pew, as the little girl partook of the elements, the body of Christ, she asked her mommy as she looked down, "Is he in me yet?" How perfect is that? The question tonight, myth or miracle, is Jesus in you yet? There's no greater music to the ear of God. For all the angels that have ever sung, all the praises that the people of God have ever sung, all the bells that have ever pealed, all the sermons that have ever preached, nothing is greater to the ear of God, then his people saying, "I love you, God, and I want to live for you." Myth to miracle, one holds all the possibilities, the fantasies, the expectations. The other holds the reality of eternity, the blessings and hope that does not disappoint. Shall we, like the shepherds, run? Run away from the commercial myths and sentimental trappings and run toward instead the miracle of Christ, the eternal love which quite frankly is the ultimate gift for you to unwrap this Christmas Eve. May the spirit of Christmas live with you far beyond the candles and the carols and the communion. May the spirit of Christmas live with you and be with you forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.